Hey, it's the steering committee, and we're actually recording live. It's a little loud in here, but we're at Brews on Facts. Our sponsor, of course, Brews Beers here in Denver, and we like this spot.
Love this spot.
So it's a little loud. Apologize, but
the ambiance doesn't cost you anything extra.
It doesn't. I think people like that. I've heard some. Speaking of what people like, we've had a crazy amount of new subscribers, downloads worldwide.
Yes.
Countries I had to look up.
Well, that's great. We welcome audiences from all over.
So thank you. If you're new, thank you. We talked about this all before. We're just two jamokes sitting in a bar.
Two people just drinking and talking about cars. So we decided to turn on the microphones and let you guys
appreciate
listen.
Appreciate you listening.
Welcome to our new listeners.
And on that note, if you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review. We had we had 125 reviews and now we're down to 59. I'm not really sure what's happening.
Do people take back their
maybe
reviews?
They're time sensitive. I don't know. Or maybe they found out all those paid subscribers. I'm kidding. Let's get
some reviews.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. And amazing, some of these countries people are listening in. Big contingent in Germany. So thank you. Those of you in Germany, we really appreciate you listening.
Danke.
We're at Brews on Facts, which is the tap room or one of the two tap rooms for Brews Beers here in Denver. Shout out to our friends, Ryan and Charlie at Brews Beers. So thank you again for your continued support.
I'm tasting the new left-hand lady. At least it's new to me.
Tasting her too, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's described as a sort of an Italian-style pilsner.
Delicious. Everything here is awesome. We've talked about how good the beer is here. Yeah. We actually ordered dinner from, I don't know what you call this place. It's called Choice Market. It's, I think, a Denver thing. It's sort of a, this is going to sound marketing speak, but sort of a convenience store elevated, and they deliver food.
Yeah.
I just had, I don't know, it was like $12 or something, this steak, mashed potatoes, really delicious. Check them out. It's
you were particularly, you noticed that the green beans were really
the
fresh.
The green beans are like fresh green beans, like out of a garden. It was amazing. And it didn't leave a morsel. So, we dropped a couple shows on you, and then we both went on vacation. No one broke into my home, so thank you, listeners. And I don't think anyone broke into yours. So.
No. Although I did find a weird semi-crime thing at my house this morning.
A semi-crime thing?
I think, I found this bag of clothes that was just sort of thrown into our front yard.
Really? Were they bloody?
No, not bloody. They were from the bag was from something called the, Green or something ranch. I've heard it advertised.
Green Valley Ranch?
Something.
It's a neighborhood in Denver.
No, yeah, something like that. It's up in the mountains. It's a ranch. It's a resort.
Okay.
So it's like one of those bags you get from the pool house so you can take your wet clothes home.
Or something?
You can take your wet clothes home. And there's a bunch of, it's like two bathing suits, a dress, and it was all just sort of thrown in our front yard.
My guess is it flew off the top of someone's car.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, it could be that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you being a lawyer, your mind immediately goes to crime.
I went right to crime, I went to, I figured it had been someone had picked, like had broken into a car, taken stuff out, and discarded the useless stuff.
That could be too. So. I actually just got done reading a book, I think Michelle McNamara is the author. She was the one, she was married to Patton Oswalt, and then she passed away early at 47 or 49 or something.
Yeah.
And this is about this guy she coined the Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Yeah, she solved that crime. Right?
Or she didn't really, but she got the. It's an engaging book, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything by saying that the when she died, no one had been arrested, and I think it was like 2 weeks later they announced an arrest or something. It wasn't much after, so I think she was probably pivotal in at least getting it back in the spotlight. Unfortunately, I don't think this guy who was arrested was anyone that was on their radar, but really a good read.
Wasn't he caught because he did one of those 21 and Me type things?
Yeah,
he did one of those DNA tests.
He didn't, but I think it was a cousin or something. And I think there was there's an ethical thing here. The police, I think, basically built a false profile to submit the DNA from a crime scene. So anyway, it has nothing to do with cars. It has nothing to do with Brews Beers. It's just, but I am locking my back door more often after reading this book. And of course, I had come up with a little profile in my mind of who the guy was, and I was pretty close. So anyway, we're not a true crime podcast. We're a car podcast.
I know.
We both did some traveling.
If we did a car / true crime podcast, that would be big numbers for us.
Maybe that's our niche.
Our niche.
I drove halfway across the country in a fleet-only model Kia Optima with about 40,000 miles.
Oh, that's good living.
And you know, we've talked about this, 40,000 miles in a rental car is about 400,000 miles in a regular car.
But was it okay?
It was okay, and amazing range because there was an amazing lack of power. Something called the Kia Optima FE, which is not on their website. They used to make it, now it only goes to fleets, and it's just kind of an awful car.
It's just sort of a generic sedan.
Yeah, I know Kia's making some great stuff now. You know, the Telluride, and you know, the car DeMuro had, the Stinger GT, and all this stuff. This felt like a different car. But anyway, it got us here, it got us back. Holiday drivers, you went down to the Ozarks.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
And you drove your Legacy LGT.
Legacy GT, yep. First big road trip, first big trip with that.
So. Yeah, probably better than what we were in. But
Well,
how about
maybe
those holiday drivers, Doug?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know about the holiday drivers. I think you have a particular rant you want to get off your chest about that. I just have an interesting story about my Legacy GT trip.
So you packed the family in there. You got the three.
Yeah, well, I like to think of that car as a impractical family car or a practical sports car.
Yeah,
it's that. It's a
master
practical
of none?
Sports car.
Is that what you're getting at?
Sort of. Okay. Well, but it's like when people put up with, when I have three kids, and people wouldn't put up with what I put up with to get three kids into that car, but it has five seat belts and has
space in the
back.
Most kids don't put one of them on the roof.
Well, it's good. It's good circulation. Okay, I'm from Massachusetts. That's actually an old name.
The dog's okay.
Yeah, Romney did that with his dog.
That's right.
So, and then he got flack for it like 20 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
No. They all sit in the car, and then we have
it
all
is
that
weird.
Space
all
in
right,
the
let's
back.
Let's get this. That was a weird flex.
It was.
Back to your Subaru.
And we go to this lake house a lot, so we don't have to pack a lot. First of all, it's the summer, so you don't need a lot of clothes.
It's a family place. It's not an Airbnb.
I keep stuff there. I keep stuff there. I don't need stuff. So we pack light.
The life is the 1%.
Yeah. I said once we have those new 70.
The Ozarks is a real hot spot for the 1%, right?
Well, that's where we launder all our money, obviously.
Right. Ozarks, great trip.
We're doing great, and we're doing what we usually do on the trip out there is a drive through the night trip. So we get into the car at like 6 or 7.
Like a
movie
college
on.
Kid would do.
Maybe, but we let the kid, we do it because the kids they watch a movie and then they fall asleep and then they're asleep for the whole night and then we're
pretty
not,
good plan.
Yeah, we drive right through. We get through. And I'm usually the one. I turn into a Le Mans driver when we do this drive. Yeah. I will drive most of the way there. Yeah. I'll drive through the night. I'll get all the way there. Yeah. If I get a little tired in Kansas
City. Brake discs glowing.
Not usually, but. But this time was different. Just as the sun is setting, Burlington, Colorado, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours east of Denver.
Okay, so is that on the way to Kansas, basically?
Yeah, still Colorado, but that really long, flat part of Colorado.
The part of Colorado that looks like Kansas, basically.
Sun's going down, we gas up, we're going to leave. I turn on the headlights. Headlights turn on for a second and then go out.
Really?
Yeah, and it's dusk now.
Yeah.
So
Kathleen's probably looking at you like,
"Oh, I'm freaking out." Yeah, but I'm like, I swear, I had had the car serviced before this trip, I talked to the mechanic, and we went through everything, and everything was mechanically fine. I had the hub fixed, I'd had the clutch fixed a while back, and he went over everything else and he said, "Yeah, you're good to go. Don't worry about it."
Famous last words.
I know. I put the headlights in, so I thought I had screwed something up.
But you put new headlight bulbs in?
I put them in. Yeah, I do it
two
all the time.
New ones.
Yeah.
Did you wear white gloves?
No, I did not. Was I supposed to do that?
No, you're supposed to. The oils or whatever. No, did you replace them because they were burned out?
Well, maybe. I don't know. They weren't working, so I assumed that they were burned out.
Yeah.
It turns out, I'm freaking out. I'm looking at the book, and I'm like, the first thing I check is the headlight fuse in my car, right? I don't know. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Check the fuse. I have extra ones.
Yeah.
The headlight fuse is fine, so I don't know what it is.
By the way, a little non sequitur here.
Yeah.
Why do cars still have fuses and not a circuit breaker?
I wondered about that too.
Okay, that's another conversation.
You know, Kathleen asked me that, and I didn't have a good answer. I was like, nope, that's a good point. I don't know. Luxury cars at least should have circuit breakers,
you would
right?
Think. Anyway.
Yeah. And it's at this point.
Nick Makuta, if you're listening, you let us know.
Okay, explain this to us. As I said, we're two jamokes here. We don't know what we're talking about, but this is probably a very good
Nick's an actual engineer. So.
Yeah, and it's probably because it's like, that would add $2,000 to the cost of each car.
And maybe it's as simple as that. Yeah. Anyway, you're at the gas station, fill up, turn on the car.
So it's dusk, and it's like we're in the middle.
So the car starts.
Oh, yeah, the car's running fine otherwise. Yeah. Running like a top, but like I have no headlights, and the sun's going down. And it's really a bummer because this is our plan. I mean, otherwise and this is what we should have done. And to the audience members, this is what you should have done. You should have just pulled over in a hotel. But we were so frustrated because we were so early in the trip.
Yeah.
But Instead, what we did is we called Kathleen's sister, who was driving at the same time.
Yeah.
She was only a little bit ahead of
us. A lot of thinking, Doug.
And she's got a Lincoln Navigator.
Okay.
Brand new one with giant headlights.
Were your taillights working?
Taillights are working.
Oh, God.
But this was not... I don't recommend this.
Three kids under six.
We drove... Yeah, three kids under six in the back. We drove across Kansas all the way, and I couldn't believe we didn't get pulled over.
Oh, my God.
Driving behind the Navigator.
I don't really have a response to it.
I guess I have some sympathy for the guys who used to drive.
It's that Yankee ingenuity.
Well, I just didn't want to go back, and I didn't want to stay in a hotel. And I said, I figured I would drive this...
flashlights to the fenders or something?
This is Top Gear style. Yeah, I mean, this is like, there's definitely like Top Gear episodes where the old cars, the headlights die and they like think they're going to crash. And
they're also in the Sudan.
Yeah, and they're in Bolivia and they're in like four-wheel drive vehicles. But like, yeah, we're driving across I-70 East.
Uh-huh.
And I'm basically thinking, I'm just going to get as far east as I can before a police officer pulls me over and then I will go get a hotel. And I figure I'll just tell the police officer my headlights have just gone out.
They're only looking for Porsches, don't worry. Never mind the Subarus without headlights.
We got all the way across Kansas.
I bet you did.
No one pulled us over.
I bet you. Did you pass any cops?
I don't know. I mean, no one yes, pulled us over, though. I don't know. I don't know.
Doug.
But we're driving, and I'll tell you, the worst part, we were sitting at about, the speed limit's 75, so we were doing 80. I'm right behind my brother-in-law was doing most of the driving.
Do you have parking lights, at least?
Nothing. Had nothing on the front. Everything was blown out.
You'll find out and realize why and figure out
the problem. But the backlights I know are working. I can see them. And the brake lights are working. I know. But the most nerve-wracking part was we'd be going along, coming up to usually a tractor-trailer truck. And if it was a single tractor-trailer truck, I was never worried.
Yeah.
But if it was a slow car coming up to the tractor-trailer truck or another tractor-trailer truck, we would go out and do the maneuver, and I was always afraid that other car was going to come out at the last second and not see me. So I'm driving like right underneath the bumper of the car.
You can't make this up, folks.
We're
automotive professionals.
Then it starts to rain, which made things worse.
Please tell me your wipers work.
Wipers worked.
Okay.
But again, it made visibility even that much harder. Uh-huh. And so at that point for a while, I'm driving. You can't see this audience, but I had the Navigator I'm basically picture I'm in the Navigator's blind spot because then I could see a little bit better with their headlights.
Okay.
I could see more of the road at that point, but I didn't like driving in the blind spot. And we're on the phone with
poor them. Kathleen, Doug's wife, is probably there.
She puts her
head in her hands.
She's so embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because we're driving with my brother-in-law.
You had to take the Subaru.
Had to take the Subaru. I really wanted to take the Subaru. We get to Kansas City. It's about 5. I know the sun's going to come up in about an hour, hour and a half. But like we're catching that early rush hour traffic. Lots of cars on the road. I'm like, now this is dangerous. Pull over. Wait till the sun comes up. Because it's like cars can't see me. That's the problem. I'm afraid they can't
cars
see me.
Cars couldn't see the whole time.
They couldn't see me the whole time. But like somehow it was okay on the lonely 70.
What we're
like,
saying is in Kansas in the middle of the night, you can still drive across the street. The lights
no
off
rules.
And no one's
going to
fuck
rules
with
at
you.
All.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there's no rules at all. So we wait, the sun comes up, we drive. We're only like an hour and a half behind. Max and Courtney in the other car drive ahead and they get there. But we're only like an hour and a half behind. And now it's daylight, so it doesn't matter. So I talked to my father-in-law. He knows the area better. He goes, you should take it to my Trilix dealership. They'll fix it.
Okay.
He and his son actually...
It's a Subaru dealership.
No.
Oh.
He and his son, they have some errands to run, so they decide to take the car.
Okay.
As predicted, they get to the Trilix Jeep and Chevy dealership, and they can't fix the car, so they take it to a Subaru dealership in Springfield, which is not far away.
Okay.
Springfield dealership holds it for a few days.
Okay.
Then they call me, and this is what they tell me.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm going to start to grind my gears a little bit. They tell me that it was a quick fix. He basically opened up the hood. He was able to, you know, tug on some wires and adjust some things, and he got the headlights working.
Tug on some wires. That's...
And he says, you have a wiring loom issue at the back tailgate.
What are you driving, a 90s Mercedes?
I know, right? RJ, you can sympathize with this, right? And he goes, it's not affecting the front lights. It's different. It's not what caused your problem.
Yes.
But it's a problem. It's working now, but you should think about replacing
it.
By the way, it costs about $1,000 to fix.
Okay. Okay.
To reorder the part and get it in there.
So, Doug, are we making a trip to a pick and pull?
And I was like, okay.
Yard
all right, here? Noted. I'm not going to do that right now. I live in Colorado. I'll deal with that when I get back to Colorado. I have a Subaru guy here that I think will tell me something different. But he says, but your front headlights are fine.
Okay.
Drive up to Springfield. It's about an hour from where we're staying. Yeah. Get to the dealership. It's hot as balls. Okay? That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
It's humid. It's muggy there. It's Springfield, Missouri.
July in the Ozarks.
July in southern Missouri. It's hot. they pulled the car around. Now, here's a little thing. Yeah. It's a small side note. They had a guy working at their dealership, Subaru dealership. He's like the guy that's helping the lot, like move cars around. Yeah. He's kind of a gopher for everybody.
High school kid or something.
Maybe.
Or 60, yeah.
Can't drive a manual.
Oh, get out of town.
They throw it to this guy to tell him, oh, go move the car around. It's a silver Subaru Legacy. In the back, he goes, that's a manual.
Let's get this straight. Yeah. Subaru makes manuals currently.
Yes, yeah. I would say as far as manufacturers go, actually has probably more manuals on offer than many manuals.
So when they get a car in, there's probably a pretty good chance it's going to be a manual.
Most WRX, this guy can't drive. Yeah. Most of these Legacy GTs can't drive. Yeah. Yeah,
you had one job.
I know. I was like, it's like, come on, learn. Like, if you came here and you didn't have the
not on my car though.
Yeah, I know. Learn on one of their cars. But anyways, pull it around. I pull it into the service bay, and I'm like, okay, well, we're gonna test everything out before we drive out of here. All they charged me for, right? And this is decent on them. All they charged me for though was a diagnostic.
No kidding.
So, but I was a little upset. Though.
What's the name of the dealership?
Hold on.
Okay. All right. It's.
I go to turn on the headlights, they turn on.
Premature shout outs.
They turn on for a second and then they turn off.
Really?
And none of the other things work. Like the high beams didn't work, the fog lights didn't work, nothing else worked. The headlights work for about a minute and
radio's
then they
working,
off,
air conditioner's working.
Oh, everything else works. Everything else is fine.
Yeah.
And then the headlights completely don't work at all. And I'm kind of like, I go back to the service guy, I'm like, the headlights aren't working.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I turned them on and then they turned off.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, well, the tech that worked on your car is not here anymore. He had to leave. Oh. I'll text with him and I'll find out what's going on.
Okay.
So I told you, he said that wiring loom definitely was not causing the problem.
Yeah.
Sure enough, now that I'm here and I'm causing an issue, well, maybe it's that wiring loom in the back that's causing the problem.
Yeah.
So should we go ahead and sign you up for that service? And I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I look up on my phone, I type in the exact problem I'm having, I find a posting right away from a forum.
Yeah.
Check. Not the headlight fuse, check the daytime running light fuse. It's a different fuse and it causes problems.
No kidding, which shouldn't interfere, but it certainly does.
Yeah. Pulled it out, put a new one in, turned on, everything worked. So I fixed the problem.
Well, that's a first.
I fixed the problem.
Kidding.
I know, right? I made the situation better. That's first.
Wow.
I mended something, as Jeremy Clarkson would say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of go back to him. I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't pay for the diagnostic fee. I don't think you diagnosed it properly. And he hems and haws about it. And maybe I'm being a little surly at this point. And And he says, well, one of our customer service people will call you on Monday and figure this out.
You know what?
Credit where it is due.
Okay.
They did call on Monday, explained the situation. They refunded
good on them. Good on them.
So I don't have a problem.
I thought I saw a chargeback coming.
I don't see a problem with sometimes you make mistakes, sometimes bad things happen. It's how you deal with it once the mistake is sort of identified.
Right, right.
And they did and they fixed it.
How many times did you say I'm a lawyer?
Not once. But if it was going to get into emails, I do have two emails. I have my civilian email and I also have my attorney email.
Okay.
In
with
certain
the
ESQ situations.
At the end.
Yeah, it says attorney at law as my signature. When I think it might help, I will use that in these types of situations. That helped with the sprinkler system, guys.
Okay. My guys?
They were great. They were great. But the guys that dug up all my yard.
Shout out to Archer Healy and Denver.
Yeah, they were great.
You do a fine job with your sprinkler
system. Absolutely. Very happy with our new sprinklers. But you know, when Verizon was digging up our yard to put in the 5G, they used a company.
Yeah.
They broke my lines, and I did send my emails to them with my attorney.
You should get a monthly cut of that, by the way.
Well, but I was asking for $80 of reimbursed maintenance fees, for something one thing that they broke, and I was like, come on, this is a no brainer.
make it happen. Yeah. I need another beer. What about you?
I do.
Or
so
take
let's,
a break.
We'll pause.
Be back.
So that's my story. So the car sticks now. And I know what to check every time anything electrical goes. I check the fuse box now. So
that's a good way to work.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Come to me if you have any problems.
I'm proud of you, son.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. We have new beers. What are we drinking, Doug?
Part two.
Yeah.
And second beer. We're doing Dog Days, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, it's like an IPA.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a sort of a flavorful, sort of robust.
Yeah, taste that.
Yeah,
that's tasty. Yeah. So I'm a little amazed we got through the first segment without mentioning the word Porsche once.
Don't worry, audience. We're still going to come back to it.
No.
We're not going to far.
There are three Porsche Caymans, 987 generations, two bases and one S on Bring a Trailer right now. out, all black.
I know. You sent that to me, and I haven't had a chance to look
at it. Two of them have the same wheels. One of the bases in the S, I think, have the share of the wheels, and then one of the bases has more base wheels. But anyway, these are right up your alley.
Which one should I get?
Well, it's interesting because they're all pretty similar. I mean, the one obviously is an S.
You said the 987 generation, so we're talking second
first generation.
Oh, right.
Is that right?
987? Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
All black.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I like the non-metallic black myself. I don't know what these are, but I'm just wondering maybe the move here, the play, that they're three at once, right? I mean, that's going to
dilute
the
market's flooded.
Anyway. Speaking of Caymans, Mike, I haven't driven since last time we recorded. Thank you, City of Denver, for shaving, using this for lack of a better term, the asphalt off our street.
Oh.
And we're waiting then for the new asphalt. I literally cannot get my car out of the garage.
Those little ramp things, now it's not far enough.
No. Another, then you have to dodge.
Is there another 2-inch drop or something? Or?
Yeah, basically. And then you have to dodge the manhole covers and the gas covers and water, whatever they are. And yeah. So, I think I'm still recording.
Is that you are right? Not. Oh. I am.
Okay. All right. We're going to use your recording. So you've recorded. So. Yeah. Sorry. I should have. All right.
That's why we do the backup.
Yeah.
First.
All right. Anyway. Okay.
Professionals here. Yeah. So.
The finest of equipment. All right. You send me yours and I'll work from that. So no real stories on that front. I have been watching the values of cars and cars.com. I get why this is happening. It's not unique to Porsches necessarily. Things will return to normal, most likely, eventually.
I hope so.
But damn it, if my GT4 isn't worth about $25,000 more than when I bought it.
Who said cars are depreciating assets, right? I mean, geez, Kathleen and I are invested, and we're not getting those kinds of returns right now.
No, again, you could argue these are asking prices, not actually transactional prices or transaction prices, but...
But
you call it 20. And, it's amazing where these prices have gone, right? Of course, you could also say about my last car. It's probably shot up that much, too. But, Doug, you keep looking at this thing like it's not recording. And we're recording,
well,
right?
I'm nervous, I don't want to lose all this genius broadcasting. But
your legacy GT's got to be worth $50,000 at this point.
I know. I was actually thinking today, if I ever did decide to sell it, and I might have to share the promise with our friend Will Power, but... but that would definitely be a cars and bids type of car.
Yeah,
Doug DeMiro would go.
I think so. All right, so if I decide
to sell it, I will sell it on the cars.
You would admit that it probably needs the detail.
Oh yeah, okay. It needs a lot. Yeah,
and I would love to help you with that.
Have you
been following this one owner E55 on Bring a Trailer that's for sale?
Oh, the one that's
the white one.
I saw one today. I saw one that sold today. But it's not an AMG. It's like AMG appearance package.
No, this is an E55, like a 2003 or something, right? So there's a white one on Bring a Trailer right now that, it's like I'm so done with like outrage culture or whatever, which is different and distinct from cancel culture, but like, or I'm sorry, not outrage culture, gotcha culture, right?
Okay.
So someone put this car up. It's a one owner. I don't know if it's the owner selling it or a dealer sort of consignment thing. It's a one-owner Florida, I think, car. I think a 2003 E55. So is that a 1-2? What is that? A 1-2? Sorry. What? It's the one with the round headlights. The first one with the round headlights after the 1-2-4.
RJ's exploding right now. Yeah. He's trying to rip through the microphone.
So this is car, and people are all up in arms in the comments because it's dirty.
Oh.
Right?
Well.
Like, you can tell it's been sitting outside for a long time. Like, you get those little lines that come down from the handle, the door handle, right, when the car's been sitting outside. So you get those little dirt marks and things like that. The engine's completely dusty.
Okay.
So people
were kind of crucifying him for like having
basically
a dirty car?
And I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, there's your bargain.
Yeah,
which
there's your,
when was the last time you saw a bargain?
You're lucky. It's like, you should be lucky because you can fix all that.
Right. Some of these people, they're just relax, you know.
And was this Bring a Trailer or Cars?
This has been BAT, so I think the problem with
the zealots are on Bring a Trailer.
Well, the bar has been raised, zealots. But some of these people are so uninformed. It's just, so if you're looking for an E55 and you're listening, check out Bring a Trailer. I think it's sitting at 9,000 right now. It's got 89,000 miles, which is probably average or less than average with these cars. Yeah. White, maybe not the best color for it, but you know, it's a little rough. You know, the star is broken off the front, but it is included in the sale. From the comments and just reading through the car history, it sounds like someone owned and loved this car up through about 2011 or 2012. And then it probably sat.
Yeah.
It sat outside in Florida or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
These people, they're militant. It's take it for what it is. And look at it like a possible bargain.
I was going to say, and talk about it as like a bargain car that will, as a daily driver, that you'll just have a lot of fun driving. You know?
And, you know, not to get off on a rant, but the misinformation, some of these people, they think that it's just... We've talked about this. You've got to be very wary of what you read on forums. Although the forums helped you with your headlights,
forums
help
me
with things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, take it with a grain of salt, but sometimes the forums can be really helpful. But anyway, I don't even know why we started talking about this. But your car.
Yeah.
So maybe the move is to not
fix it.
Get a lot of conversation going.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Get everyone all up in arms. You know, yeah. And then. So anyway.
Well, yeah. So and I joke about this. I think about selling it only because I just want something new. But like,
right.
I have to tell you though. So I didn't get to sort of put the button on that story.
Yeah, once
driving
the lights were
driving it,
you got
was
it back.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great on the highway. I drove my WRX out there not too long ago, like a few years, you know, 3 or 4 years back. I drove my WRX out there, same road trip.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was telling Kathleen, like, the difference between this is that this is so much better on the highway.
Is it?
So much more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
But longer wheelbase, more comfortable. The seats are a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
When I got into the twisty parts of the Ozarks, it did fine, and I had fun, and I was really pushing it.
Yeah.
The WRX was a little bit more nimble in those sections, but, like, this is such a fun car to drive around in, like, sort of the... And where their lake house is has these great undulating roads with high speed sweepers.
Yeah.
And, you know, terrain.
Better roads than here?
They're smooth and there's no police officers on
them. Okay, well, then better roads.
There you go. I mean, and with curbs, not just like big open fields.
No,
like
we have
curbs.
Great roads and cops aren't a huge problem here, especially when you get in the mountains. But
the Ozarks offers enough terrain that it's like not quite canyon driving, but it's interesting driving.
Might even be better. I mean, I would argue, you know, you find a road next to a river, it's probably going to be a pretty good road,
right?
Yeah,
that's what these are. I mean, the Table Rock Lake is a dammed up river. So it's all these sort of limestone sort of hills and caves and things like that, and it's fantastic.
I watch Ozark. I know.
Although if you watch Ozark, that's actually all filmed in Georgia.
Yeah, well, that's what I read. But there must shoot some there because
the movie the show takes place in Lake of the Ozarks, which is a little different. That's the lake a little bit north of Table Rock.
Got it.
So if they do any real local filming, it's actually up there.
Okay,
so.
All right.
But
neither here nor there. But let me ask you, it's a turbo engine. Do you feel more power? Well, it wouldn't matter if it was a turbo or not. It probably would matter more if it wasn't. But do you notice any bit of a power boost when you're...
It felt lively.
Is that sea level-ish? Is it 600 feet? What are we talking?
It's not 600 feet, but it's probably like 2,000 feet.
Okay.
I mean, it's the middle of the United States.
Okay, that's still pretty high if it's...
I don't know.
Do you notice a difference?
It felt lively when I was driving around, I mean, it was also really hot, though, so that also... I feel like that probably evened it out.
Sure,
though,
right.
So.
Okay.
Very hot, very muggy, but...
But you got it back in one piece.
But I mean, in the days I had it, too, before... Yeah. You know, well, I had it for a few days before I went to the shop, and I had it for a few days after. Just love driving around those mountains.
Yeah,
the WRX was slightly better.
I would hope so, though.
But the WRX was a little bit more of a pain.
10 years
on the
newer,
highway.
8 years
well,
newer.
Well, 10 years newer, but on the highway, it was definitely more like that WRX had wider tires, shorter wheelbase,
stiffer.
A little bit more drone sort of on the highway, per se. It wasn't. Yeah. WRX was not great on the highway, but it was great on like a B road.
Is that a 6-speed or 5-speed?
Both are 5-speeds.
Okay.
So
interesting.
So
I haven't driven the GT4. The new GT3 Touring has come out. We've not driven it yet. I intend to make that happen.
Hint, hint. Porsche Colorado Springs.
So hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah.
So we didn't plan to talk about this, but
I think we should. I think you and I should go down next time you have a service.
Yeah.
We should just basically.
Well, that
ask
might be a year. The rate I'm putting miles on the car, but no, we should just go down there anyway and see what we can
I'll
do.
I'll pay
with
to go have your windshield wiper replenished if we need to.
Just don't touch my fuses. But
no, I'll fix everything.
Oh, that's,
running light fuse.
So this is a little different, this new GT3, because it's basically the regular GT3 minus the wing.
Now,
I know they say there are no differences in suspension.
Because
there actually are some small differences because it's a little lighter, but basically it's the same car.
Well, yeah, but there were some more significant changes on the previous GT3.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
The dampening settings were a little bit different.
Is that the car we want? Because if I'm getting a Touring, I think I want a little softer spring rate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No. To me, right now, if I'm 911, the ultimate 911 being produced right now is a GT3 Touring.
How do we feel about those wheels? They look like good aftermarket wheels. They don't look like GT wheels to me.
They do. Actually, right. If it didn't have the Porsche crest in the middle, I would think they were aftermarket wheels. Yeah. They're not bad. I don't love them. They don't ruin the car appearance for me, but I don't love them, though.
Yeah.
I did like the one that Matt Farah had that was like kind of that darker blue with the gold
R-O-M. Wheels.
I like that. I do like that. Gold wheels are something that most cars can't pull off.
Yeah.
But when they do pull it off, it does look good. Yeah. I like it.
Sometimes I wish I'd had. Other days, I'm glad I didn't. but it's a good look, and it is a very good looking car. I'm just wondering if mechanically
the one thing on cosmetically too, that they, I guess the nostrils, the big nostrils on the front, which are a big thing on the GT3. Are they body colored instead of being black, like they are on the GT3?
And on the GT4, that's the same way. They sort of have these contrasting panels, right?
Yeah.
So interesting. Yeah. I don't know if that's in the mechanical similarity. I don't know that makes me want it more. I think I appreciate a little more distinct. Pardon me, damn beer. I appreciate a little more distinction between the Touring. I don't want just a GT3 without a wing. I think I want a little different vibe. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
No. I think you're right about that. I think and frankly, this is going to be blasphemous probably, but I would want the only thing I don't love about the GT3 Touring is that not having those rear seats.
Mm.
I kind of want that. I kind of want the full GT3 suspension.
At all.
I don't think you can put it back in, no. I mean, I think you could probably, you might be able to sort of pay their custom department to do that if you're so inclined, but you're not going to find one with seats in it. And, and to me, that's like, that would make it the ultimate 911.
So I would argue that the last generation, the 991, to me looked better as the Touring. I think I might prefer the 992 or more GT3 with the wing. There's something about the edgy look or something that doesn't lend itself to the Touring.
Do you like that gooseneck spoiler?
No, not particularly.
Wait, so I guess I'm confused. The 991?
The new car is more angular, right? It's got the sort of the cut line across the front and some other things. I think it works better as the GT3 versus the GT3 Touring. Okay. That said, I'm not crazy about the wing, but I think that it's got sort of that futuristic sort of robotic, you know, whatever. I guess all I'm really saying is I think as far as the Touring goes, I'm kind of thinking the 991, both, you know, the 0.1 and the 0.2 look better as the Touring. The softer lines, right? I don't know. And I believe literally a softer suspension, which, you know, even if it's 5% or whatever, right?
Yeah. I think 5% is okay, though. If we're talking about arguably one of the finest suspension systems in the world, it's just 5% softer.
I guess...
It might make just sort of like driving around day to day feel a little bit better. I think we've both recently seen 991s in the wild, right?
And like, I think it's a great looking car as a base or an S. You know?
I think, and I wasn't convinced by the pictures I saw online that it was a great looking car.
Right.
But in real life, it has presence.
It does.
It really stands out.
Yeah.
I think we've both seen different adventuring green 991. I saw a 4S, you saw a Carrera, or maybe...
Yeah, base,
And it does. It has presence.
Maybe that's it. I never liked the 991 when it came out. I thought, for me, the 0.2 was an improvement, which isn't always the case.
Yeah.
I never liked the big turn signals on the 0.1. To me, I always thought stepping up to the GT3 or the GT3 Touring on either of the 991, well, I guess 0.2 for the Touring, but we'll get caught up on in details.
Yeah.
To me, that was an improvement when it went to either the GT3 or the GT3 Touring. To me, I think the car looks stronger as a base.
So for the 992, the current 911, you think looks better?
There's something about it. GT3. I don't know. But, you know, we've talked about this discussion many times before about how these cars grow on us, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're not blown away at first, but they're always like a year or two ahead of the curve or something, and then they sort of mid-cycle sort of start to look amazing. I don't know. It's just, and so much of it too is pictures versus in person or whatever. And although we've driven the new 992 and we've seen others, we've not driven the new GT3 yet. But we will.
That's true. We will.
And we will talk about it. And we'll talk about it. And we'll talk about it some more.
We will. But if we ever get the chance to drive it, we will definitely talk about that a lot.
Speaking of Porsches and stuff, I think I was sort of expecting this new GT3 to come out, and I was my GT4 is awful. I wanted a GT3, and I've not felt that at all, so it's kind of a good thing. I haven't been so enamored with this new style that it's...
That you're, like, lusting or...
Yeah,
or
not really. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. Well, that's yeah. always good, yeah.
Apparently, I'm not going to drive the thing anyway, so it's...
Well, I don't think you should. I think the GT4 is still considered... I mean, if you want to talk... I mean, I listened to a sports podcast, yeah. and I was always talking about the Mount Rushmore of... blank or whatever. Mount
Rushmore, Pantheon, if you will.
Well, but Mount Rushmore because it's only top four.
Okay. You know?
So it's like the GT4 right now is in the Mount Rushmore of current sports cars available.
Oh, I would say so. Independent of me owning one, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but end of sentence. Like, and it's possible that the GT3 might be one of the other two, but that means there's only, it's in the top four.
Okay, so what would those
best sports cars available right now?
What would your other, so no, I think most, people would say that the GT3 and the GT4 are probably in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say an F8 is faster or whatever, but yeah. at the end of the day... So what else I almost have the new Corvette in there.
Possibly.
Yeah, it doesn't have a manual.
It's debatable, at least it's debatable. I would say, off the top of my head, I would say possibly like the McLaren 720S seems like okay. it might have an argument to be in there.
And that's really the one with the McLarens right
yeah,
now,
that's,
right?
I think that's the sweet spot for McLaren right
yeah.
now.
And that's one with the ugly headlights, though.
It is, but I mean, you know, as the sports cars go. And then, I don't know.
What else would go in then? Well, so that makes us four, but if we got rid of the Corvette.
So Corvette's debatable, and McLaren might be debatable, too.
I mean, maybe the M2?
Yeah,
the particular
M2,
one of the competition
yeah, CS yeah. or something.
So, and break that down for me. So I when I was shopping years ago, when the cars were new, we've talked this before, I cross-shopped an M2 when it was new with the new 718 Cayman.
Yeah.
I felt better in the Cayman. But there's the M2, then there's the CS, but the top dog is the competition.
New one right now, and it's the top dog, it's the competition. That's the one everyone's raving about.
And
they basically say, in most circumstances, it's a fantastic car.
Yeah.
Maybe about $15,000 too much. Money.
Sure.
I think it's about $86,000.
Yeah, it's really expensive. And so you're talking, if not GT4 money, you're talking... you're getting pretty close to GTS
4.0 at least.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you get past that, it's like apparently the engine's fun, it's lively, the steering is great, the manual transmission has got great engagement. It's just one of those great little, considering it's still technically a sedan sort of layout.
And I think
it's almost doing the most with that particular layout.
Yes. What do you want, a daily driver that you can have fun on the weekends with, or a weekend car, right?
And this is probably one that's like, it's making more concessions to daily driving, but it is really fun to drive.
Yeah,
Whereas the Cayman,
I think that one has to be up there.
Cayman ticks over. It's like, so that's like just it here, ticking over one more degree over is a base Cayman,
right?
Which is like a pure sports car,
right? And of course, this is sort of the debate I had, the internal debate: do I get a top of the line BMW or the base Porsche, right?
I would argue that maybe
that competition, right? You get a manual M2 competition in the right color and you keep it nice. That's probably a better investment even than the GTS 4.0, if not the GT4.
Well, I would be so I'm obviously in the market for something, and we've had some interesting discussions, my significant other and I.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the M2 is still like a siren for me. It's still calling to me sometimes. I'd like to drive one again. Yeah.
You know, I think at the time, it just wasn't what I was looking for.
Yeah.
But if I had to have one sort of car, it would do it all. I don't know. We need to. That's a car we should drive.
But I think that would be on the
even if you got rid of one of the Porsches, you got rid of the GT4, and kept the GT3 in that mix. So GT3. M2 competition.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it has to be the competition. I hate how it's only about the new one, the best one, like, and all the others are forgotten, even though they're probably within 5% in every way.
Well, I know, I was going to say, when journalists were driving the M2, they loved the M2.
Yeah.
But now they seem to be like, oh no, but the competition's the one you want.
Right.
Yeah.
So what else would be on there?
So we're talking about the best four sports cars.
What do you think about the Lotus? Is it the Amira?
I think the Evora, right? The Evora.
No, the new one that they just announced this week.
Well, I haven't looked into it.
Doug, get back on the internet.
I know, I will. I get back. Now that I'm back from the Ozarks, I'll get back on it. That
probably doesn't belong. So just...
Well, because we don't know enough about that. Right, but even the last version of the Evora, like the Evora GT or the GT400.
Yeah, GT400 or 410, they just kept
making
more.
Whatever, one of those later, they made three sort of at the end that were all sort of significantly better than the original Evora.
Right.
They probably have an argument to be made. They'll have their supporters, but I don't know if it quite I don't know if they quite get past the velvet rope to get into that top four club.
Well, but part of that is, we've talked about this, it's the dealer network. That's the big thing, right? There was a great Vin Wiki stories about a guy who had worked at a Lotus dealership sort of when they made this sort of resurgence in the 2000s or whatever, 2005-ish when the Elise came out, sort of put Lotus back on the map, and what a great car it was, handmade, you know, for better or worse. But how the damn dealer network was so janky, you know? And I think that's sort of the deciding factor for a lot of folks.
Well, but that's, all right, so what I would argue, I'm going to come in and say that shouldn't matter, the car should still be judged on its own. So assume that you're on your own for all of them.
Right.
Like, just judge the car as you drive it. But, you know, there's some other issues maybe there with the that particular car. But those are the cars
we've gone way off the rails, but
yeah. And we'll take a pause here in a second, but
what else is on that? We've got George.
I think the two things that are locked in are the GT4 and some version of the GT3.
Okay. All right.
And then
the M2 comp.
Well, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What else is on there? I mean,
maybe the McLaren 720.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
And then with an outside argument for the Corvette, the new C8. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then I think there's probably an argument for like the Miata,
I was going to say that.
The ND Miata.
If you want to check off sort of every price box or whatever.
I mean, we're talking about just the sports car experience.
Yeah.
Like that.
Farah and Clapman were talking today about, you know, the new Corvette. I guess Farah's got a loaner. It's, I think, a convertible.
Yeah.
It's pretty loaded. It's like 90 grand or something, which is a lot for a Corvette that isn't a ZR1 or something. Yeah,
$70,000 when it started.
But he said there's this weird sort of dichotomy of, like, sitting in this car. It's mid-engine. It is very European in a lot of ways. And yet, it only revs to 6,500.
Loving around. Yeah, I know.
Which, you could argue 6,500 isn't exactly a low.
Yeah.
You know, look at some of the red lines of some of the cars from 20 years ago. But basically saying the new ZR1 should have he thinks a 9,000 RPM red line.
Well, I think so, it'll be flat plank grain.
Yeah.
It'll rev to 9.
I mean, even if it's 8 or 8,500, I mean, that's. Yeah. I think that's going to be a world
that, that will be, that will land on the map. If it's, so based on how good the basic platform is, that should be really good.
I wish I liked the interior better. I am actually okay with most angles of the exterior, except for maybe the rear. You know, it's the whole, you know, Farah's got the Cayman complex, you know, there's the, or coined that term, you know, the Corvette, it's the, what do they call it, the golf, you know, you've got to be able to store two golf bags in the trunk. And so it has a sort of artificially long tail.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course, if you're a McLaren, you slap an LT on the back and call it a day, right?
But,
anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back.
We're going to collect Ryan's thoughts and we're going to get it back. But you're onto something, though.
Yeah, okay, we'll be back. Continue this. And Doug has another beer. I don't, because apparently I've been talking too much.
So Bruce has apparently done a collaboration with the brewery,
which is pretty cool.
By the downtown ballpark there, so give us a try. So.
These guys know what they're doing. I still think that Blue Moon is good beer. Always liked it. Nice orange slice, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
I discovered this particular lake trip. That was actually my preferred lake beer.
No kidding. Okay.
A regular Blue Moon, and they have this new one called Light Sky.
Okay.
And it's, when you're at the lake, it's very hot.
Yeah.
You're on the dock.
Yeah.
You can't drink anything too hoppy. You have to have something a little lighter.
The air is filled with hillbilly sweat.
Well, obviously. Yeah.
Kidding.
But
present company excluded. I'm kidding. All I know about this is from Ozark.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You gotta come with this.
I'd love to. Let's rip those roads up.
But you're not wrong.
Apologies to everyone in the Ozarks or.
Well, it's different at Table Rock because there's like a mix. There's a mix of that.
I'm just joking. Yeah,
but there's also a mix of people who are like a wealthy doctor from Springfield.
Absolutely.
Who has like a nice
lake. That's why. Busting your balls, man.
Yeah. No, it's you'll enjoy it down there. And the roads are great. We'll go down. The problem is that there's no good Toro cars in Springfield.
And the cops are cheap to bribe, I hear.
Yeah, really cheap to bribe. But I like the Light Sky, which is like, it's in a can. It's a
light version of your Blue Moon.
Basically, it's a lighter version of Blue Moon. It's perfect for sipping at the dock, you know, when it's really hot.
You put the orange slice in it.
I did not, but I would.
See, I think that's key.
Takes extra planning.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is
orange bits.
You're up at the lake house and you have to go down this very steep road to get down to the actual dock.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the thing about that's interesting about cars down there
sure.
is that everybody at this little lake community is buying side-by-side ATVs.
Yeah.
And it's definitely like a flex, like sort of like keeping up with the Joneses thing.
It was
used to be just golf carts. Now everyone's buying these really heavy, overbuilt side-by-side
ATVs. What do those
ATVs.
Run? I don't even know.
They're sometimes $40,000.
You're kidding me.
And you cannot drive them on the road. And I was like, why would you not? And my father-in-law gave me support on this. Why would you not just buy an old Jeep? And just drive that
Know? Well,
and then you can still use it to go drive down to the corner store if you need to.
Those old Jeeps don't pull tail like these new Razors or whatever.
I guess, but they look like, I mean, they're painted in camo.
Yeah,
they don't look cool. They look like
it's a different. What would you do if you rolled up in a GT3? What would happen?
Oh, well, first of all, you couldn't because you'd scrape the ball. So there's a lot of steep curves and bumps and stuff like that. So GT3, this area is not very friendly for GT3s.
Okay.
If you were to ever come out to this lake house, I would arrange for you to find parking in a covered spot.
You think that I would take the GT4 three stages?
Theoretically. I've thought about
this. Do you realize?
I know you can't, you have to be in a covered parking space, and I'd have to find you accommodations in Branson, Missouri, basically, is what I'd have to do. We'd have to make an early morning trip. And I figured you'd have to trailer it out there. But it would actually be worth your while if you ever did, though. So.
Well, that's. I don't want to change topics or jump around too much, but I am in love with the car that's for sale on Bring a Trailer right now.
Which one?
It's that Shorty Geländewagen with the bigger aftermarket diesel.
Yeah.
I love the GT4. I've only put about 1,800 miles on it. That's a combination of just not having the time and also being cognizant of resale and all that. And I don't plan to flip this thing. I've told you, I might have this car until I'm 100.
Do you think you're not driving it because you might flip it, or just because it's like that is a very specific driving experience?
Well, yeah, it's so. Doug, let's real talk here. I'm a pretty wound up guy. It's a wound up car. It's a wound up car. I need something to offset that. Okay,
yes.
I'm thinking
you need an automotive fluffer, basically.
What better?
Lose some tension.
You could call it that.
Yeah.
What's sort of the yin to that car's yang, right? I'm thinking a slow diesel,
big burly slow diesel,
30-year-old
German,
you know,
SUV
Mercedes Geländewagen, right? So of course,
military spec. That's like you could beat up on.
We're not talking about a G63 or whatever with 400, 500 horsepower or whatever, right?
And you've described this to me as like a thing that's just like the fun thing you drive around.
The short wheelbase because when you see a short wheelbase, you immediately know it's either one of these Europa cars brought in 80s and 90s through New Mexico, or it's an import. Because as we know, and the listeners probably know, in the U.S., I think 2003 was when they came out with this Geländewagen officially through the dealerships. But it was only the four-door, five-door, whatever you want to call it.
Regular SUV.
The full wheelbase, wheelbase. Not long wheelbase, but four-door. I've always had a thing for the two-door. You know, DeMiro's got his I don't know if this is a Europa or not, probably is, a two-door Cabrio.
Yeah.
Would love those, but I guess what I'm looking for is something that isn't a car that I'm not going to park because I'm afraid of a ding or get a stone chip. I really love this. So on Bring a Trailer right now, I don't have it in front of me, but there is, you know, there's this two-door Geländewagen. It's, I don't know, it's probably from the 90s. It was an import probably from Romania or Italy or something. You know, it doesn't have the plaid interior or the houndstooth. It doesn't have maybe the best dash, whatever, but sitting at $12,000. And that's not nothing, as they say.
Yeah.
But the big thing holding it back, so I wouldn't want to park it outside. I guess I want a car like this because high-strung me, getting into a high-strung car, results in a high-strung experience. I don't get in that car and drive around the mall, as we've talked about. We need to coin a term for that. We always talk about driving around Cherry Creek Mall here. Come up with a term. But so I get in that car and drive the shit out of it, you know? And
so then let me.
It's not like a cruise in the country.
So let me follow up. Yeah, so it'll probably never leave your local neighborhood. You know, you'll use it to go get ice cream.
No.
You'll use it
to go. Oh, you're talking about the Geländewagen. This theoretical car.
This theoretical car.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
you'll go get pizza in it, you'll go, sure, you'll drive around and you'll just be happy.
I don't care if there are people behind me, so, you know, so I still won't go in the passing lane. You might not be able to.
Let me follow up with that then. So if that's the case, then why can't we park it outside then?
So I actually would get one. So if it wasn't perfect, right? Which is probably, I can't afford two perfect cars, right? So I want something that's got a few dings. I think it would give me the freedom to actually enjoy it and use it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I'm thinking, oh, I would actually probably street park that thing. I would have driven it here to bruise off facts tonight.
Yeah.
Responsibly after only maybe a beer and a couple glasses of water, but
you don't even have to street park it. You have garage space. In fact, the way your driveway is set up,
you could even
park it and not block your other cars.
We've measured some other cars. Like if I were to go nose to nose with the GT4, which is the shorter of our two cars right now, would a short wheelbase go on the bottom fit? Did we ever actually measure? I think we did. It was like within an inch. So it was like possible.
I think what we measured is that the modern Mini didn't fit. So I assume, and even the two door glove in the back,
the first generation or two of the modern Mini would fit. The Fiat 500 would fit, so I could get in a Barth. But I want something. I want like a little 4x4, and I've always liked the Mercedes. I think if the Jimny was for sale, I'd take a serious look at it.
Okay, like the Suzuki Jimny that's not really available.
And I would get the most base one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one that's called the Jimny Limited or something. Obviously, none of them are sold here. And then I realized that's a replacement to the Samurai, effectively, right?
Yeah, it really is.
That's really just the same. So anyway, but there's nothing in that sort of space right now that you can buy new in the U.S.
Yeah.
Go overseas, you got lots of options, but not here.
What you almost want is, well, I don't know. I think I need to help you. I need to counsel you. I think you get an older one.
Yeah,
it's a little bit pitted, and you just like you do park it outside because all you're worried about is that random hailstorm that happens, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I could throw a comforter on it.
Throw a comforter on it. If that happens, you're alert to the hail storm notices, and then. Or you throw a comforter over the Tijuana and you move the Gelandewagen.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. At this point, the used Gelandewagen is likely more worth more than the Tijuana.
Tijuana, right? Park the Tijuana on the garage. You don't have to park it on the street.
No.
And there's a big difference between parking it in a garage,
right,
on the driveway pad, and then on the street.
Right, right. Yeah. What do you think about this? Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I don't. I haven't actually seen. No.
If I knew it was going to sell for $12,000, I would buy it tomorrow.
My guess is
18, 20, 23.
In the end, it ends up close to 20.
So, we're going to circle back to this, but I really like this car. I like the color. I like having three silver German cars.
That's pretty fun. Yeah.
From three different marks.
Yeah. Three different eras too.
OCD anyone? But yeah, three different eras. Yeah. You know, or two and a half eras. I guess you could argue. I mean, the Tiguan's a 17, although it's. One of the last of the old generation. So
yeah, you could argue it's a 2000s. It's a 2000s model.
Although damn thing has Apple Play. It has all four window one touch down.
Yeah.
All things the 2020 Kia had didn't have. Okay. It didn't even have. I don't even think it had. I think it had driver side one touch down. But the Tiguan has all four windows one touch one up and down.
A
lot more power than the Kia.
At home. So Ryan has what is effectively the ultimate first, the Mark One ultimate Tiguan.
Well, but it's
because it was a run out special.
Yeah, it wasn't the top of the line. It wasn't the R line. Basically,
it's basically like the best version of the Tiguan.
But then they kept building it.
We bought that thing
thinking it was the last year they were going to make it, 17. And I think they made those up until maybe last year, if they're not still making them. They were called the Tiguan Limited.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was the old one?
Yeah, so they kept making it.
So they were doing two different Tiguan.
Well, here's the other thing. The Tiguan Limited, we've talked about this. The Tiguan Limited is the old one, made in Germany versus Mexico, and the new one, more horsepower as well. So it's 20 more horsepower.
So your Tiguan was made in Germany?
Yes, and that was important. Wouldn't you want your German car built in Germany? Hey, no, I know there are. This is a bigger conversation.
Given
the choice between having your Tiguan built in Mexico or Indiana or Canada or
all else being equal, Yeah, you're probably right. I would rather be working. Right. I'd like to have it. I actually like that my WRX was actually built in Japan.
Do they build WRXs other places?
No. So they build.
But most, they build some in Indiana.
Most,
right?
No. Yeah. Most Subarus
are built
in Indiana, but it's Outbacks and Foresters.
Ah, okay.
WRX and probably Imprezas too.
Which, by the way,
my WRX actually had a Japanese birthday.
See,
so
there you go.
I like that.
I rode over in a Subaru Tribeca, a 2011 lift vehicle tonight.
Oh, okay.
I was shocked by how little interior room there was versus the exterior size. Now, I think that's a lot of that is because there's a third row that's shoved to the back hatch.
Oh, it was an Ascent.
What did I call it?
Tribeca. You were in a bigger SUV.
I think this is a Tribeca because it's 2011. I think that has been surpassed.
I'm pretty sure the Tribeca didn't.
I'm going to say this was a Tribeca, but I could be wrong because I don't think the set was out of 2011.
I don't think it had a third row.
This thing had a third. All right.
Okay.
I'll show you the thing, but my thing said 2011 Tribeca. Anyway, not really impressed. Like, the interior wasn't any bigger than the Tiguan. It was bigger on the outside. Now, I know they have the Ascent, which has surpassed this.
Yeah.
Rob Ferretti did a whole thing about his wife had one, how terrible, like the weird quirks and features of it, right? Like, it was had some strange stuff. This was not that. Anyway, well, we'll revisit. It's not important, but I was shocked at how little room it had for, like, the size of the. Anyway.
Okay, that's too bad.
Anyway, Subarus.
Well, yes.
How do they work?
Well, I love Subarus here. I'll be the Subaru. I'll be the one who loves Subarus.
Yeah, no, and that's okay. I like. I'm okay with Subarus. I wish they didn't use CVTs.
They do for a lot of their regular cars, and I've got my I've got Noelle trained. She is definitely on board with this. I like Subaru as a manufacturer.
Yeah.
I think they create a lot of products, and I think it's almost like they're interesting to study from like an industrial design perspective. But they're not necessarily like car enthusiast cars. The Outback is a great product,
sure,
but not necessarily a great like enthusiast.
Right.
So I've got her. She's already trained to know that there's fast Subarus and then there's regular Subarus. We have always been in the fast Subaru.
Yeah, there's like, a difference.
Between WRXs, STIs, Legacy GTs, those are fast Subarus. And
you
those
could argue,
are great. Yeah.
That's no different from BMW these days. I got in a Uber X, was it an X1 or X2?
Yeah, and it's like, who cares?
It was a piece of crap. Yeah. I was in a, and folks, I'm not paying extra to like for a black Uber or a black Lyft or whatever. I got into the latest GL, okay, Farah just reviewed the AMG version of this. There's a little hatchback. GLA, think.
They're small, basically the smallest AMG.
The newest one I think is better, but this one is probably 5-6 years old. Yeah. Again, piece of crap. Hard plastic everywhere. The suspension was clunking. No headroom in the back seat.
So
this is the same way I feel about this BMW I was in recently, this Lyft or Uber.
Apparently right now, the BMW ownership right now is a little bit, they're a little bit lost.
Yeah.
Right now. The current ownership.
I would say BMW's like, a little bit lost, except for their
family,
performance.
Well, it's like a family trust that's like sort of running it, and they're treating it like it's a transportation company.
I see.
As opposed to like being passionate about it. Whereas like previous BMW ship ownership was like, it was, there was some passion behind the whole thing. When people used to ask me if I could ever take over one company and change the direction it was going in, my answer used to be Nissan.
Yeah.
And I would still take over Nissan, and I would think I could do better.
We've talked about this before.
But lately,
Nissan was incredible.
Lately, they were. At one point, they were a regular car
company. Not that long ago.
Making amazing products.
Yeah. Early 2000s.
Now my answer would be, I would take over BMW.
Yeah.
And I would get them back on track.
Yeah.
In a way where it's like, and I know you can't just offer the M3 of everything.
No.
But you can still offer, like, what you decide to do is that in every segment you're in, you're just, like, the best handling, X1, you're the best handling 3 Series, you're the best handling this.
They've lost their way.
They've lost their way. You have to be different in some way. So.
You know what I kind of want, though? The X3M?
I've heard that's funny.
Doesn't it look like a cool car? Like, I actually really, it's one of the few crossovers, whatever.
But it kind of gets me back to my whole, like, instead of, like, so basically what the X3M is basically it's a safari version of a sports car, right? It kind of
basically
is.
But there are those of us whose spouses and others insist on a high suiting position,
yeah.
you know, right or wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, you know, just being spending, I don't know, we put 2,000 or some miles on this Kia Optima recently, you know, and it'd been a long time since I've driven around in a sedan.
Just
and
a regular sedan.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot higher than my Cayman, you know, and it's, and yeah. it, after yeah. driving a you know a Tiguan, a crossover.
This is why the regular sedan market is dying.
I don't mind it. Right well, now. Sure. I think it's good. Well, we've talked about this before. Again, I predict it's going to come back. I want to get back to the days of a you can go in, you're professional, you go buy a 5 series with a, it's just in like that's sort of the end game, right? Like, I mean, that stands alone. You don't need the M, you don't need the Dainen or the Alpina.
Yeah.
Just give me a nice solid Hollywood. We've talked about this before, but it's yeah. this whole like,
I know,
why
I
is
know
luxury that. Now performance? Performance used, luxury used to be luxury. It was the ride. It was the.
I know a guy. We've hung out with this couple a couple times. We're kind of like in that series where we're like getting to know each other.
Still. Yeah.
And he told me one that they're driving around in 2011.
The swingers community is a tough one to navigate, Doug. I'm kidding.
And having the shape of your key is really important because you can feel the difference.
You got to put that white stone in the bowl. Front of your,
yeah, you can definitely yeah. you can feel the difference of that. So you want to make sure you have
the
something.
Ice Storm. Great movie.
Yeah. But he told me the same exact what you're saying is that he had always aspirationally he'd always thought like a 5 series BMW was like kind of uh-huh. like one of his sort right. of like life goals.
Right. Not the M5, but like a 528 or 525.
Well, it was just a 530. It was a 2011 uh-huh. vintage, and he bought it a year or two pre-owned yep. or whatever. But he has it and he loves it, and that's just what he has. So now it's getting up there in age, but he loves it though. Yeah. It's like his car. So yeah,
that's a whole other conversation, but.
We should probably wrap up.
Yeah, we should. I think Brews on Facts. Is, yeah, sorry, Brews Off Facts is wrapping up.
But. Yeah, they're saying that you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
But please, so. Rate, subscribe, review, all those things.
Please do. If you want to hear more two jamokes talking about cars when they're a little bit drunk.
Is that an East Coast thing?
Well, did you say
that? I thought you came out with that. Okay.
Yeah. How about this? Two middle-aged men just like rambling about cars sometimes. So
that's basically what we are. So we appreciate listening.
We do.
We got a bunch of t-shirts we need to get rid of because we got a bunch of t-shirts that, well, let's just say the logo is up a little higher than we intended it to be, but they're still perfectly serviceable.
Great t-shirts. I think what you mean to say is they're great t-shirts.
They're great. No. Yeah. Farrah was talking about how people send him crap all the time and right. he only wears like the stuff that looks cool.
Yeah.
I would argue that these are the t-shirts that actually probably look cooler, but they're just not my preference. Anyway.
So how about this? The first 5 people that email to us at our email, which is the
Doug, what is that email?
The Steering Committee.
Yes.
Podcast.
Don't forget
gmail.com.
So Steering Committee Podcast.
The Steering Committee Podcast at gmail.com. First 5 people.
First
email,
5, maybe first 7. We'll see how it goes.
First 5 I get in my feed is I'll check it each day now, and whoever gets it there first gets a t-shirt.
And international listeners, and we know that there are a lot of you, which is really cool.
Still send it.
We're high rollers. Yeah. We'll send it over. No,
we'll
kidding.
Send you. We'll send
we'll,
you.
We'll send. We can step up to that overseas postage, right?
We can.
The man has a law degree.
Yeah.
Anyway, please reach out. I appreciate listening, and thank you for all the to all the new listeners, and we'll
to all
we'll
our
be
loyal
back.
Listeners, as
all
well,
your loyal so, listeners too. Yeah. We'll be back soon. Thank you. Yeah.